This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
I'm quite a confident person. I like to think I am, like, especially when it comes to my work. I know my worth. I know what I bring to the table. I love what I do. And at the end of the day, I focus more about the experience that I have with people rather than the actual work itself. So when I'm on a job, I'm focusing on them and having a good time. Like, what's the point if you're not having fun?
Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist and founder of St. Jack Cosmetics. How are ya? I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good. If you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, that would have made sense. If you know, you know. If you don't, I highly recommend you go check that show out. That's my unsolicited recommendation for you. I am going to give you the quickest life update of all time because I am just way too excited to get into the juice of today's show. But essentially, I did just want to let you know that if you've been listening for a while, you would know that I went into research and development for St. Jack product number 2 in March. So that was quite a few months ago. And I actually received my sample initially quite quickly. I got it either in the last week of March or the first week of April. But then when it came through, I just like wasn't stoked with it. Like it did what it needed to do, but the texture of it wasn't quite right and the fragrance of it wasn't quite right either. And like you guys are in the best way possible, like so particular. You love the way the makeup cleaning mist smells. And so like I just couldn't with good conscience manufacture this without just going back to the drawing board and saying, all right, well, we need to make this a lot better than it is. I am never, ever, 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 ever going to put my name on something or St. Jack's name on something that I am not 110% happy with or that I wouldn't want to buy myself as a makeup artist and someone who loves makeup. But I am so pleased to announce that the sample version 2 arrived and it is everything I wanted it to be and more. It arrived last week. And so now I have entered into the next phase of getting that done and the mass manufacturing of that, which kind of includes designing the packaging, which is going to be so pretty. You're going to love it. And then, of course, manufacturing the whole thing, which is a super expensive little venture I'm going on all over again. RIP me. But look, that's my problem, not yours. I know that this is just going to, oh, you're going to love it so much. You're going to be like, Beth, how on earth did I do my makeup without this? And I'll be like, I know, sis, I know, I got you. But that's why we worked hard in the background to make it absolutely perfect. And I'm so happy to tell you that we are there. But now that that update is done, let's get to the star of today's show, because let me tell you, it sure as shit ain't me. I am very excited today to be joined by the one and only Alex Perrin. Alex is one of Sydney's most in-demand makeup artists, and in fact, she is the first ever makeup artist from Sydney or New South Wales that I've had on this podcast, and that fact blows my mind. Soz Sydney, soz listeners in Sydney, that I haven't been representing you, but I've got a doozy for you today. With over 10 years experience, Alex actually got her start as a Christmas casual at Mecca. I think they call them a summer host now, but she was really quickly, I'm talking within months of working at Mecca, she was quickly promoted to management before she eventually went full-time freelance just a few years later and becoming renowned for her signature style that enhances and elevates natural beauty. Alex works closely these days with major celebrities, and most recently she was actually handpicked by Kyle Richards of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I am a big Real Housewives viewer, so this one like got me good. And then she was picked by Kyle to actually spend the week glamming her when Kyle came to Sydney or Australia actually for the first time ever. And Alex was given free rein and trust just to work her magic, which says so much about her skill and also her energy. They're truly just, guys, honestly, I'm telling you this, there was not enough time in this episode to even talk about all the different things that I wanted to talk about with Alex. She has worked in literally every single corner of the industry. She has done everything from fashion editorial to e-commerce shoots. She's hosted her own most masterclasses, and she is sought after for her iconic bridal artistry that sees her travel not just all over Australia, but she has done destination weddings as well all over the world. I am, of course, very excited to have her on the show to talk about her work and her approach to work, but also her approach to keeping a positive mindset working in this super competitive, sometimes cutthroat industry. This conversation is so special to me. As you will hear in the show, Alex really touched me with her attitude towards our work as artists, as well as just some straight life chat. So you know what? As per usual, that's enough from me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Alex Perrin. Yes, Queen, Alex Perrin, welcome to Behind the Brush.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I was just telling you that you are the first makeup artist I've ever had on the show from Sydney, which is crazy.
I love this. Like, off we go.
Off we go. We got to represent. We got to hit that. We got to hit that market. It's kind of crazy when I realize I've been doing this show for almost a year. But anyway, it's time. It's about damn time. So we'll jump straight into it. The first thing I want to ask you, I asked all my guests, was what did you want to be when you grew up?
Honestly, like I've never been the kind of person that, you know, was five or like even a bit older that was always like, I want to be a doctor or, you know, I want to be a vet. It was always like, I just enjoyed what I was enjoying at the time. And I was like, I'll figure it out when it gets to that, to the point that I need to have it figured out. But I've always like enjoyed sport. I would say if anything, I was always like, I wanted to be an athlete or, you know, a musician or something like that. But definitely more probably down the athlete road. Like hockey was definitely something that I was super passionate about growing up. And I had ambitions to like, you know, travel the world and play for the Hockeroos and all that kind of stuff. So
that's an ambition then. I wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah. I guess so.
That's definitely something. Oh, that's so interesting. Do you still play hockey now?
No. Well, life took a massive turn when I injured my back very badly when I was 17. Those hopes and dreams kind of went down the drain. But I mean, in hindsight, it's all happened for a really good reason, you know?
Amen. Everything always does. So how did you get into makeup then?
So I probably started wearing makeup when I was like six. My mom used to buy me those really basic kits that like kids would play with, you know, from Kmart and Target. I was always like in that section of the shops, you know, like, you know, putting nail polish on. And I would literally do a full face of makeup from like the age of, six, seven. I would do the blue eyeshadow, the red lipstick, the pink blush. And I would like make my family sit down and like, I would do a full blown like fashion show and dance routine. Like that's what I enjoyed doing. So I wouldn't say I got into makeup later on. It was like always part of my life. So I don't know where that came from because like my sister doesn't wear makeup. My mom never wore makeup. The only person that really was into that kind of scene was my auntie. So I don't know if she was the inspiration behind all of this, but I was very like, there was definitely two sides to me. I had like my girly girl side and then I was a massive tomboy. So yeah, I guess you could say I was playing with makeup from a really young age.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I totally know the little kits that you're talking about, the little Kmart moment with like those really shitty disposable applicators.
The appliques, yeah, for the eyes, yeah, exactly, the sponge.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're at with that one. So yeah. Good. So I suppose that was always kind of a part of what you were doing. And then you started studying makeup when you were, was it 20 or 19?
I was 20, So I was 20 when I started studying.
What drove that decision?
After school, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I sort of turned to my dad and said, you know, Dad, I don't know, like, what I want to do. But all I know is that I want to be fulfilling my purpose with my career. I don't want to be doing something for the sake of to, like, tick boxes for other people or just, you know, like, fulfilling society's expectations of, you know, what I should be doing. It was always a matter of, I'm waiting for that light bulb moment, but I don't know what it is. And I guess, my dad was like, well, you can't do like nothing until that moment. So why don't you just go and study business and get your degree in business and then see what happens. And I was like, okay, without, you know, too much consideration. I've never been an academic person. Like school was really tough for me in that sense. And I did go to a school that, you know, heavily was, you know, was completely academic, you know. I really struggled in that sense. But then, going from school to uni, just it made no sense at all. So I started Bachelor of Business and Marketing and I deferred 3 weeks later.
Oh my God. That is such a quick deferral.
Yeah, I think at that point I was also very much on a journey of like figuring myself out as a person, but I knew that that wasn't my path. So I knew that I wanted to eventually have my own business and work for myself, but that wasn't part of the process for me. So I deferred and my dad was like, what are you doing? And yeah, I guess I just was like, I need to figure this out myself. So I started working in retail because I just needed to do something. And then I was working at a store. I don't know if you are familiar with Peep Toe.
Peep Toe? Like shoes?
Shoes. Shoes, jewelry, and like
that. It's ringing a bell.
Yeah. So we're going back to like over 10 years ago from when this was like, I think that was when it was in its like peak, you know? Yeah. So it was a very girly environment, very glamorous. We had to wear, you know, full makeup every time we worked in the store. We would dress up, we would wear high heels. That whole kind of experience sort of sparked this interest of like self-empowerment and just looking and feeling amazing. So I then was working next to a MAC store and I found myself always in MAC. Like I would be on my shift or whatever and I'd just be like, it's really quiet, I'm just going to pop over next door. And then I would like spend 45 minutes in MAC next door. So the girls in there were like, you are really excited about all of this and you know, you are really good at it. And I would spend all my money on makeup. Like it just, everything was sort of aligning into this world that, yeah, was completely new and foreign to me because no one really, yeah, like I said, no one in my family was, you know, even aware that this could be a career or something that you could pursue as, you know.
Yeah, well, you and I are actually, I think, roughly the same age and I had the same experience. Like when I came out of school and I started working, I was like hoarding makeup. I loved it. I was buying everything that I could and I just had my other job because it was never even a thought in my mind that makeup artistry was a career or the beauty industry was a career. So I totally get that. Whereas these days, I meet girls now who are like 14 and they're still in high school or kind of middle school. And they're like, I know I want to be a makeup artist when I finish. And I'm like, that wasn't an option for us.
Yeah, it wasn't an option. And, you know, I come from a family where, you know, being successful only fits into a certain category. So you need to have your degree. You need to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, a dentist or I don't know, whatever else. Like there's just a certain like caliber of career path that was sort of expected of all of us. So when I recognized that makeup was definitely something that I was super passionate about, I felt empowered and I could see how I could almost relay that feeling and that experience onto other people. It was like a matter of weeks where I was like, I'm just going to go and I'm going to do my research and just see, you know, what I need to do to make this happen. So I spoke to a girl that I went to school with. She was actually a year above me and she went down a similar path. And she was almost like mentoring me and kind of like helping me just tap into this whole, you know, world and understand how I could go about it. And she was like, you know, this is where I studied, this is what I'm doing now and so on. So then I went to an open day at the college that I studied at, which was Cameron Jayne Makeup Design. It's like a more sort of niche private college. And I saw that the principal was wearing peep toe shoes. And I was like, this is aligning. Like, that's not a freaking coincidence. I was like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. I saw her and I was like, she's wearing peep toe shoes. I'm wearing it peep toe. Like it's something so silly, but it was just like that moment where I was like, this is where I need to be. So I then.
No, that's not silly. Just to interrupt you. That is not silly. I am so one of those people who believe in the coincidence of all those things. It's not a coincidence.
It was like the universe was just giving me a massive sign of this is what you need to do. So I then enrolled and I started, it was a matter of like, I'd say a matter of a month. So I then had to let my work know, obviously at Peep Toe, I was a manager at that point. So I said, you know, I'm taking a new journey. This is the path that I'm taking. And my area manager was really sad because she was like, we had a really great relationship and she helped me through a lot of stuff. So we had a really good relationship, you know, other than, you know, beyond the work sort of environment. But she was super excited for me and she could see that there was a lot of potential there. And she was like, I'm really excited to see where you take this. So off I went. I started studying at Cameron Jayne in doing a certificate four. And then within 2 months, I applied at Mecca as a Christmas casual and I got the job and I was so excited. Like I just felt like I was, you know, in my element. And that quickly turned into a management role. So again, another 2 months later, it was like, right, you have management experience, you've got plenty of retail experience. Here you go. Like,
wow.
Take the reins. Like, everyone's, you know, super excited to have you as, you know, one of the leaders of the store. So that was amazing. And yeah, I stayed at Mecca for 3 years. And in that time, I was, yeah, just learning about the back end of a business. And so, again, it was like a full circle moment, because me not studying, you know, not getting a degree in business, I was just learning it physically. Like, I was in the thick of it, thrown into the deep end. It wasn't someone telling me, you know, this is how business works. So it goes back to saying that there's no right or wrong way about anything. Like, it's what resonates with you as a person. And, you know, everyone has their own journey and their own path. So there is no right and wrong. So that's kind of how I got into, you know, working in retail and studying. And yeah, that was how it all begun.
Yeah, it's crazy. I so agree with the idea that, like, for some people, studying business is a great thing. For others, it's not. Like, I've had some really unsolicited advice from people who should not be giving it to me. Like, my ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend telling me, you should go do an MBA. You should go do an MBA if you want to have a business. I'm like, I don't need to. Like, I've worked in businesses my whole career. Like, it doesn't resonate for me. And, like, you don't have to fit into a box of what makes sense just because that's, like, a normal pathway or, like, a defined pathway. So I'm so with you there, sis. So with you. So you were doing coursework at the same time that you were working in retail. Did you end up finishing that course, by the way?
Yes, I did. So yeah. It was a year. It was a grueling year because I was studying full time and I was working full time. So working in the store 38 to 40 hours a week, which ends up being more anyway, because, you know, meetings and just there's always stuff to do and always working from home anyway. And then I would literally, yeah, so I'd do an 8-hour shift at the shop and I would go straight to study at night. So it was 3 times a week and, yeah, full day Saturday at college. And then, yeah, literally I had no life. It was one of those situations that I just knew what I had to do. And I've always had that, like, hustle in me. Like, nothing was ever too difficult or too much. I just made it work. It was just one of those things that I knew that there was a finish line. And yeah, I had my eye on the prize. There was no other way around.
Just
it. I was
kept always, going.
Yeah. 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 But I would say it definitely kept me focused. Definitely challenging at times, especially for the relationship that I was in at the time, and even with friendships, like, I literally didn't see anyone. My partner at the time was like, what is the point? You know, like, we don't even see each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've kind of always had that drive and I've always been super determined. So as soon as I put my mind to something, it's like, there's no way around it. And yeah, That was sort of how my life was for a really decent chunk of time. Because even after I finished my course, you know, working as a freelancer, like, we'll get to that probably more later on, but the hustle never ends, you know, like, you're always on to the next thing and, you know, saying yes to every opportunity. So you end up just, your life is completely revolving around, you know, building a business. And that's just a huge sacrifice that you need to make if you do want to be an entrepreneur and you do want to have your own business.
It's so true. This is just, like, as a complete side note, resonating with me so much at the moment. Like, just, I would say, over, like, the last month or so. Yeah, just, like, the last month or so, I've just been like, oh my gosh, like, my entire life is just work. Like, it's the podcast, it's the brand, it's doing makeups, it's doing this, it's doing that, it's so much. But, like, when I sit in it, I'm like, I'm doing this for a reason, it's okay. But I'm actually recognizing for the first time ever that these are sacrifices that are being made. But it's intense sometimes, like, when you've got all of this stuff going on. But unfortunately, I feel like we're about to learn from your story that it potentially doesn't end for a while longer, the hustle. But all we can hope for is that eventually, at some point, we get the balance right. But I am curious to learn, if you were kind of studying and doing retail, was there one that you felt like aligned with you more for your experience or development as an actual artist?
Both definitely served their purpose. Doing the course was more of, like, building up a connection network, doing a huge amount of work experience. Like, we had to do how many hours? I can't even remember, but it was like 80 hours of unpaid work. So you can imagine how many jobs that we would have to do. You know, it was a lot of photo shoots. It was fashion stuff. It was, yeah, assisting on jobs with bigger artists that were, you know, quite significant in the industry. And then even just, yeah, doing our own clients, you know, that was sort of an expectation of the course, you know, to finish. So it definitely pushed me into the deep end in one sense. And then the retail side of it was definitely more of like a building my confidence, working with clients, how to communicate with people, understanding what people's needs are. Yeah, like pinpointing questions so you can achieve, you know, whatever expectations they have of their makeup and the experience that they are wanting. I learned about products. I learned about skincare and the importance of skincare. There was so many layers to both of them that definitely set me up to be like a well-rounded artist, and definitely like the stepping stones to, like, you know, what I do now. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, if you would say, is there one that I would recommend for people to delve into? I would say if you can do both, then that would be, you know, ideal. Not necessarily studying at a private college if that's not an option for you or if that doesn't resonate, but definitely learning from artists. So even doing, you know, one-on-ones with multiple artists, that's another really great option. Or, you know, at an academy that you know, resonates with you. It could be any way of learning, but learning from people that are established in the industry, is, you can't put a price on that. Learning from people's experiences and mistakes and what works and what, you know, what doesn't, that's super important to recognize for sure.
So true. So you just mentioned that it was kind of part of the coursework that you needed to kind of do shoots and stuff like that. And a lot of that would have been TFP or time for print or something like that. You can tell that I don't do many shoots. but whatever, that's not my shtick. But the point is, a lot of people are really into that. So I want to ask you about this. I have spoken to Penny Antwire about this on the show, you know, about how do you really kind of get the ball rolling when it comes to working on shoots? Because obviously that's something that you still do to this day. So I'm just curious, like, how did you get your foot in the door there? And what was your experience kind of building up those relationships to make sure you were getting those on a consistent basis?
So if I'm going to start from scratch, it was definitely unpaid work to begin with, and a lot of test shoots, just allowing people to know that that's the kind of work that you're doing and the kind of work that you want to be doing. That's the kind of content that you need to be putting out there. So I started shoots from the get-go, but yes, like I said, I was doing unpaid shoots for a decent amount of time, you know, while I was studying, and then a couple, you know, afterwards as well. I never said no to any opportunity. I was all like, just yes to absolutely everything that came my way. So from that, I definitely met the right people. And I think in that area of the industry, it's who you know, it's your network, it's your connections, it's the relationships you build with people that are in that side of the industry. I think I had a good friend who, she has an agency that they basically are a concierge for bridal, anything bridal really, and branding. They've got like a whole clientele basis of, you know, different designers and jewelry designers and everything like that. So whenever they would have a shoot or a new campaign, or they were doing, you know, content, she would book me for hair and makeup. And that's another thing that that really challenged me, because I was definitely more of, you know, had a focus on makeup, and hair was never even in my realm. And she was like, well, girlfriend, if you want to be doing shoots, you need to be doing hair. There's only a really small percentage of brands and companies that are willing to have a budget that will cover for hair and makeup as separate, you know, artists. So I just had to wing it. I literally just had to say, you know.
Yeah, yes, I was going to say, like, how did you learn how to do hair so quickly?
Hair was definitely, there was a module in the course that we were forced to, well, not forced to do. Like, it was just, it was part of the course.
Forced to do?
I felt forced. I was like, I'm being attacked. Like, I hate hair. I can't. Like, I'm allowed to do my own hair, but why do I need to do everyone else's hair? Like, I don't enjoy that. But, you know, it is a really good skill to have, and it's something that I'm still learning so much about today. Still have so much room to move in that area. So yeah, so I was thrown into the deep end, you know, with that. And then obviously the more jobs that I was picking up, the more work I was putting out there for that sort of work. And then it kind of was a roll-on effect, like a domino effect. People were seeing that I was doing a lot of shoots and working with certain brands, and off we went, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. So if I'm just thinking about kind of your timeline, you had finished your course, you worked at Mecca for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And during that 3 years, you were freelancing and you were working on these shoots that we're just talking about, but you were also doing bridal and special event makeup. Is that right?
Yeah.
First of all, how did you survive? And second of all, no kidding. How did you survive? And how did you get those freelance clients? Were you just like posting on Instagram all the time and people finding you on hashtags? Were you kind of poaching them from your store? Like, what was the tea with that?
So definitely, you know, working at the store, I had my regulars. I'd built really great relationships with some amazing women who I still see to this day. Like, it's just crazy even when you think that these clients have followed you and, you know, you still work with them. They've been like day ones. And that goes to show that we've, you know, we've built a friendship around just me doing their makeup. So I'm very much a part of their lives and vice versa. And so, yeah, building the clientele up through the store was a natural progression. I didn't purposely, you know, say, oh, like I'm doing makeup on the side. It was never that intent ever. It was more like, Alex, if you're available, I'd love for you to come to my house and do my makeup for this event, or I've got, you know, the gold ball or whatever. It was more of a, I just want to make sure that I'm booking you. Because sometimes when you book into a retail store, you know, you can get put with anyone. You don't really know what you're walking into.
Yeah, that's something I always will kind of not warn clients about, but they'll be like, oh, I can't, you know, if I can't get in with you, I'll just book with Mecca. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with anyone who works there, but I'm like, just be careful because you don't necessarily know who you're going to get and they might not align with your aesthetic. Like, you might want something really super soft and natural and get someone who's more like the Urban Decay, like heavy kind of cut crease vibes. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I kind of just, you know, was definitely always focusing on building up my clientele, because ultimately I did want to just be solely working for myself. So when it got to the point that I was ready to leave, I was terrified, by the way. Like, I remember I had a conversation with my eldest brother, who is a life coach, and he said that you're never going to be ready to have your own business and work for yourself. Like, there's never going to be an ideal time. You just need to take the leap. Like, what are you waiting for? You know, he kind of really pushed me into making that decision and diving into the deep end, because I was really nervous. I was so used to, you know, a weekly wage and structure and almost the comfort of knowing what was going on. Because when you are a freelancer, there is nothing is, you know, set in stone. You kind of at first you're working week to week, and only with bridal, that's the only area of the industry that you're planning so far in advance, and it's locking in work, you know, let's say a year in advance at least. So if you don't have that mapped out for yourself, it is really scary not knowing when your work's coming in and when you aren't. So there's definitely a transitional period where you're going to feel like this is really uncomfortable, and I'm like, yeah, really nervous about it, and I don't really know when my next job is going to come in. But you just need to trust, and the hard work definitely does pay off. I always say that the energy that you invest into anything will always come back. So I just knew that I had to work my little tush off to make things happen for myself.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, let's just make this happen. Like, not succeeding and not winning was not an option for me. So again, that drive and that determination and that self-motivation was always there. It's always been there. I think, you know, going back to when I was playing a lot of sport and an athlete, that drive and that motivation, it's sort of like instilled in my brain from that experience in my life, that time in my life. You know, you always have goals and you always want more for yourself. And that mindset I definitely carried through into, you know, building my business and my clientele. But the bridal side of it, my first wedding came from one of my Mecca clients. I'd done her makeup a few times in the store, and she came to me one day for an event and she said, Alex, I'm getting married in, you know, a year or so, and I really want you to do my makeup. And I looked at her and I was like, what do you mean? I was like, babe, I don't do bridal. Like, I've never done a wedding. And she was like, I know. She's like, I just love what you do with my makeup every time I come here, and I know you and I trust you, and I want you there. And I was like, Okay, so I just literally said yes. Again, it's going back to saying yes to every opportunity. I was terrified, didn't know what I was walking into. And the only things that I'd ever heard from bridal, anything to do with the bridal side of the industry, was it's stressful, it's hard work, it's exhausting. You know, you're dealing with a lot of emotions, you're dealing with high intensity environments. And I was sort of jaded and a bit like, kind of, I don't know if I want to tap into that, yeah. into that world, because I don't know if it's resonating with me just based on other people's opinions, mind you. Definitely a big learning for me is to not take on what other people say. It's very much a, you need to experience it yourself to see if that resonates with you or not. So yeah.
So true. So you actually still even do bridal to this day. Is that right?
Yes. A lot of bridal. Yeah.
What is it that you love specifically about bridal artistry?
I think the most fulfilling thing about working with brides is that, first off, they're everyday people. These girls, it's the most exciting day of their lives. It's something that, you know, a lot of women dream of from, you know, since they're like 6 years old. They're marrying the love of their life. It's a huge milestone in their life. So to be part of that experience, you're almost part of their family in the morning. The whole journey and the process leading up to the wedding, you're also a part of. So it's not just on the day, it's the lead up. It's, you know, you're literally the first point of contact of the day. So for me, I love that, because it's like I create a really fun and safe environment. I want them to have the best time while I'm getting them ready. It's like they've got their closest girlfriends, their moms, their family, you know, there's so much love in the room, so much excitement. It's like, it's such a positive space to be in, you know, I can't really fault it. And I think me just finding that I had something really special to offer these girls just came with experience and obviously understanding that, yes, it is a very intense, it can be an intense time, you know, when you're getting everyone ready, because you're working under time constraints. You obviously want to make sure that everyone's happy and they're happy with how they look and how they feel. But also you need to be extremely grounded and aware of the energy and the vibe that is created in that space, because as soon as things can get a little bit interesting and hairy, you need to diffuse the situations and make sure that everything is under control, so that it's not only a matter of doing the makeup, it's literally the start to finish experience, which I really love looking after people and making them feel amazing. That's my core purpose, and you know, the reason why I do what I do, it's about, yeah, empowering women and making them look and feel amazing. So to be able to have that impact on someone's wedding day is really, it hits home to me, because it doesn't get better, does it? Like, I think ultimately, you know, I think of like when I get married, I can't wait to feel the best that I've ever felt, you know, and it will be emotional and exciting. And I always put myself in other people's shoes. So yeah, it's a really, really nice experience.
It's so beautiful to hear that, and to hear that kind of like positive recollection of the experience, because I know that, I don't know if it's the same in Sydney, but it's certainly a thing down here in Melbourne that a lot of quite established artists are starting to say no to weddings. For what reason, I don't know, but people are finding it really stressful. I think, you know, having 2 years of lockdown, and like we had a lot of COVID brides and their anxiety was like through the roof. And so I feel like, at least down here in Melbourne, I don't know if it's the same anywhere else, but there was kind of this negative connotation with it, because the stress levels were just so much higher than they usually were, that people kind of stepping away from it. But, you know, knowing like intrinsically that you are really making such a difference to someone on such an important day, like surely at the core of it all, that's why we do what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just nice to hear that. It's just really nice to hear that again. And yeah, we love to hear it.
Interrupting this episode of Me Talking with more of Me Talking. It's Beth, the founder of St. Jack, and I just wanted to quickly remind you that the Makeup Cleaning Mist is a must-have for your professional artistry kit. Made with the highest quality alcohol so it absorbs quickly and smells so good, the mist kills the bacteria on the surface of all of your products, like your eyeshadow palettes, bronzers, blushes, everything. So everything can stay nice and clean between clients. Proudly Australian made, Get your hands on the mist online at www.stjack.com.au and use code BRUSH15 to join the hundreds of other artists like Tennille J, Penny Antoine, and Jack Kale who always have the mist by their side. Now, let's get back to the show.
Now, I do this for all of my guests. So I went back through your entire Instagram feed all the way down. And you know what? I'll say this. Sis was scrolling. I was scrolling for so long. I was oh my God, I'm going to get Arthur or whatever. Whatever it's called.
I made you work.
Yeah. I was working overtime for that one. Sis needed a spicy mug at the end, but I got all the way to the bottom. Yes. And what I could see kind of like scrolling through, because like I can match up like the years, you know, obviously like the dates of when the post happened, you know, and there were lots and lots and lots of different makeup styles. And it's not just you, you know, working on clients, but it was also you in there in like videos I was seeing. There was kind of like a little beauty, like makeup guru moment that we were going through that phase as well. And, you know, there's like so many trends that happened through the years and they still happen now. We all do them now and they're kind of emerging on TikTok now rather than YouTube. But I started to see the signature style that I see in your work now kind of emerge in like 2019. So that was like quite a few years of you being an artist, like to kind of work up to, you know, what your style is. So I'm just curious to know, like, how would you describe your style or like your approach to makeup? And like, how did you really work to develop that?
So I guess that whole process came, it probably stemmed with the journey I've had with myself. I mean, we're always constantly growing as people. And I think that time of, you know, prior to 2019, where I really did find my signature style and that moment of just like, this makes sense to me and this is what's working. And I love this kind of, you know, the work that I'm doing. Prior to that, it was definitely, a journey of growth within myself. And I got to the point where it was, everything was aligning in terms of the work, the clients that I was attracting, the people that inspired me as well, the kind of artists that I, you know, would look to and go, wow, that like really beautiful work. And, you know, those sort of things definitely influenced me and the artistry that I wanted to kind of channel.
Who, do you mind if I ask, who are some of your biggest inspos?
Well, I mean, I love like Patrick Tarr and Nikki Makeup. They're probably like my favorites. Mario is amazing as well. Like there are so many artists, and I think like a lot of the Israeli artists definitely inspired me as well. Like they've just got something really beautiful going on over there. So, I mean, I'd look to like, you know, so many different artists that, you know, what they're doing and what's working and what aligns with me as well. And I think, I kind of just fine tuned my style. Even myself, like I feel like I've gone through a massive transition as a person and how I present myself and, you know, my own branding as well. So that all kind of fit in together around the same time. But I would describe my style as elevated, as I'm going to say expensive. Like I just love my girls to look really bougie and expensive. Do a little dance.
I am obsessed with that. Yeah, you guys can't see this, but I was just like, yes, I was like clicking, I was vibing because I just love that because like I have to say, Alex, like you look expensive all the time. I look like an absolute troll right now and you're like here with like the sleek hair and the gorgeous makeup and like you always look that way, like so polished. And that is so true. That is what your girls look like. That is what your clients look like. Like so bougie, so luxe, like just dripping, you know? Elevated. I love that.
Yeah, expensive skin. Like I always yell about that, but it's an actual thing. Like it's just, it's not overdoing it. Like I feel like I am very versatile. I have clients that come to me that say, I don't want to wear any foundation. And I'm like, right, well, I need to work with that. And then I've got girls that are like, I want, you know, three sets of lashes. I think it also, that is a really valuable thing as well. It's just to, versatility is important, but also knowing what you are known for, like what people, why people are booking you and what it is that they're after, because they ultimately see what your work is like. and that's why they're booking you. So it's definitely being aware of what your signature is, what you're known for, why people are coming to you, but then also being able to make, you know, your clients feel comfortable if it's not, if there's something that's not resonating, or, you know, they don't want to wear foundation on their wedding day or whatever it may be.
I'm just like obsessed with this. What did you just say? Was it expensive skin? I'm like, we need to chat about this offline or potentially do a whole other episode about how to do expensive skin, because I want that. That is so wild. But I mean, look, it does come through on your Instagram, and it kind of is a perfect segue into my next question, because you have worked with so many celebs and like high profile people here in Australia. You know, just take amazing stuff. And recently, you had a next level celebrity experience, and you have told this story on your Instagram, but I just have to hear it directly from you, because recently Kyle Richards, and if you don't know who that is, for anyone listening, I would be, first of all, shocked, but Kyle Richards is the OG Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. She's been in every single episode since it aired, and she recently came to Sydney, and Alex, you worked with her for the entire week or so that she was here. So first of all, how did she find you, and what was that like? Like, what happened? Give us a take.
Like, what is going on? How did it go? Tell me everything.
What's happening?
So, Kyle, yeah, it's a bit mind-blowing, because you hear about these stories of, like, how Kylie Jenner found her makeup artist, Ariel, and it was literally through a hashtag search on Instagram. And it's the weirdest thing, because I've been manifesting an opportunity like this for a really long time. I was always like, how am I going to tap into the celebrity clientele from overseas? And I was literally like, Instagram is the only way that could happen. So Kyle had never come to Australia. It's her first trip here. And she was explaining to me that her and her artist Pamela sat down and they literally searched through Instagram hashtags. And they came across my Instagram page and she was like, yeah, that's the one. So she literally DM'd me off her own account, and I went into my requested.
Oh, so one day, hang on, sorry, stop. One day you woke up and you had a DM from Kyle Richards verified.
Yeah, that's
this
literally,
is insane. I swear,
it's actually
oh my God.
So she had DM'd me and she just asked me, are you available for these dates? I'm coming to Sydney. I would love for you to do my makeup. Let me know if you're available. So I was like, what is going on? Like, I had to like go on her profile to like make sure it was her. I was like, what's going on? Mind you, I'm not a huge, like, I don't watch a lot of TV. If I'm being completely honest, I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of series. I just don't have time for it. And I'm not really, I don't know, I've just never really been a TV kind of person. Like, there's just other things that I would rather spend my time doing. So I kind of had to piece this entire situation together. And I spoke to one of my best friends about it, and he was like, this is huge. Like, you don't understand the magnitude of this situation right now. And I was downplaying it. Like, I didn't say anything to anyone. Like, I literally did not tell a single soul, because first of all, I was like, I just want to make sure that this is actually happening, because I don't like to put things out there into the universe until it's like set in stone, locked in. Like, at the end of the day, it's my integrity as well. Like, you know, when you say you're going to do something and then it doesn't happen, you're kind of, you know, I just don't like.
No, and you know what? Sometimes there's nothing worse than like something really exciting happening and say you're like 80% of the way there, like it's going to happen, and then at the last minute something goes wrong and then 100%. You've got to kind of undo it all and be like, sorry guys, it's actually not happening. Like, how yuck. That's just a yucky feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So I tend to do, I'm quite private with a lot of things in general. So with that, I was kind of like, I'm just not going to say anything to anyone. Like, you know, no one really knew about it until it was happening. So she DM'd me, and then we confirmed that everything was all good to go, and the producers then contacted me through Hey You, and then off we went. Everything was locked in. It was really interesting because I wasn't nervous. I don't know what it was, if it was just, you know, because I'm quite a confident person. I like to think I am, like, especially when it comes to my work. I know my worth. I know what I bring to the table. I love what I do. And at the end of the day, I focus more about the experience that I have with people rather than the actual work itself. So when I'm on a job, I'm focusing on them and having a good time. Like, what's the point if you're not having fun, you know? And I think that level of, you know, someone that is dealing with people all the time and working with, you know, makeup artists and hairstylists, and they're friends with everyone in Beverly Hills. Like, they're like literally in the thick of it. I think if you are so nervous and you're all, you know, you're frozen and you're not really having a good time, it's like they almost question your capabilities and they don't really trust you. So I just went in there doing me, and we clicked from literally the get-go. She was so chill. She was like in her little hotel robe. We walked in and we set up, and I was like, let's get the music going. Like, do you want music? And she's like, yeah, music. So I was like, get the music on. And off we went. Like, her husband Maurizio was there. We were all just like, you know, having a nice time, and just I obviously wanted to like be prepared and to make her feel like she was really looked after, and just that elevated experience. And, you know, just being a professional and knowing what I'm doing. So I went through her Instagram page and, you know, screenshotted my favorite looks that she's done. So I, you know, pulled that up and I said, right, Kyle, like, what are we doing? What's the vibe? What are you wearing? These are my favorite looks that you've done. Like, do you want to do something completely different? Do you want to channel that sort of, you know, look? Or do you want to just leave it to me? And she said, look, she just looked at me and she was like, I'm just going to leave this up to you. So it was this initial connection straight away. There was a level of trust straight away. And I was like, this is the best. So I just did what I thought. And a few things I was checking in on the way. I did a normal consultation with her like I would with every other client. And she did not pick a mirror up once the entire time. And she said to me at the end of the first day, she goes, by the way, I am never like this. She goes, I've always got a mirror close by and I always check throughout the makeup what's going on. And she goes, I don't know what it is, but I really trust you. And I think that also comes down to not only me having a really great connection with her, her trusting me, but how I was presented. She looked at me and was like, you've got it together. She looked at me, I had my makeup done, I was dressed nicely. That's a really important part of the experience. If you aren't representing yourself in a certain way, and at the end of the day, it's your branding. So I'm always, always done. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. I'm rocking up in an outfit. I've got my hair done. My makeup is done. Like, it's a look good, feel good situation. So if I'm not feeling good, how am I going to make you look feel good? You know, and they love it. They love when you rock up and they're like, you are put together. They almost like don't understand how you're so well put together at that time of day. You know, it's the whole thing. So I always say to people, like,
we've all got questions about how you can look this good all day, every day. We've all got questions about that, but do go on.
But yeah, no, she just trusted me. And yeah, she was like, I love it. Off we go. And then, you know, we were attached by the hip for the 3 days. So we went from, you know, the interviews from Channel 7 to Channel 9 to then, like, you know, the radio interviews, and we had lunch together. Like, we were literally with each other for the 3 days straight. So it was really fun. Like, we had a really great time, and I really love her as a human. Like, we got to learn each other about each other's lives and, you know, just what's going on and what's happened and, you know, just the reality. She's at the end of the day, she's a human being just like everyone else. So with celebrities and working with high profile people, they just want to feel like a normal person. So if you're in their presence and you're shitting bricks, they're like, this is like, what are we doing? You know?
Oh my God.
they feel like they can't connect with you. They're kind of just like, I am superior to you. So like, what's the, you know, I'm just going to mind my own business.
Yeah. I'm one of these people, like, this is, oh my God, I'm just about to like out myself so badly, but like, I'm like a starstruck type of person. Like, I will get starstruck and like, I would really have to rein it in if that were to ever to happen to me. But like, it just sounds like you were so cool, calm and collected. And obviously that's going to make a huge difference because you're so right. Like, they do just want to be treated like people, but like, so does anyone. And like, this is just like blowing my mind, this idea of like branding and showing up in a certain way for not just Kyle or any other celebrity, but like everyone. Like, that's the experience for everyone.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's something that you are then known as. People just know that, yeah, you're on another, like, you're in another caliber. Like, I hear about, people tell me all the time, like, photographers will turn up to a wedding and they obviously arrive much later, like, they arrive in the morning much later, and they see how, you know, many people that are doing hair and makeup present themselves in the morning. And because we're starting at, you know, 4 a.m, or sometimes earlier, sometimes a bit later, but they say, like, Alex, you're always so well put together. Like, you always have your makeup done. You're always presenting yourself, like, bang on. And we see girls turning up in activewear or, like, track pants and their hair in a top knot with no makeup on. And it's, that is your branding. That is you showing up to a job. Like, how can you be charging premium rates and, you know, telling your clients that I'm going to be bringing a premium experience? It is a luxury experience. Not everyone gets their makeup done every day. So you need to bring your A game. Like, there's no other way around it for me. And I guess it comes down to also, yeah, I love that how I feel when when I've got myself put together. So that's an energy shift as well. So if I'm vibing, I'm feeling good, you know, that's going to then, you know, people can feel that. They can feel that.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely it's like, if you put effort into yourself, you show up as a different person, like, in that day. Like, I know even for me, something as simple as, like, if I go out for a coffee and I don't have any makeup on, or if I'm in my activewear or whatever, like, being lazy, I will feel like one version of myself. Or if I'm like, no, I'm going to put in effort, I'm going to, like, put makeup on, even though I'm just going down the street for a coffee, whatever, I feel like a different version that's like, and it's kind of cooked when you think about it, but it's like, you know, I'm more, I don't know, just like better. I can't describe it any other way. Like, you know, even like sometimes, you know, like, I'll go to work, like, I work in an office a couple of days a week doing social media things with other girls. And like, one of them said to me last week, because I've always got my makeup done, I've always got my hair done, she said to me, she's like, oh, is there a day where, like, you just won't look that good? And I'm like, no, sis, not when I'm coming to work. Like, do you know what I mean? No. Like, it just makes you a better version of yourself.
Well, yeah, I think it just, again, it comes down to, yeah, just you wanting to put your best foot forward. If that is something that makes you feel good. I'm not saying that everyone needs to put on makeup every day to feel good. I still feel confident without makeup on. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm more than happy to not, you know, rock up with full glam and whatnot. But I think time and place for certain things, you know, if you are a makeup artist and you're rocking up to a job with no makeup on, like, I don't see that as aspirational from the other end. If I was your client, I would want to look at you and be like, I love this vibe. I love how your makeup looks. That's why I booked you. That's why you're here. And that's why I'm paying you. So I want to feel whatever's going on there, I want to feel like that. So that's why it is such a, you know, I think it's a really important part of your branding. And yeah, just how you present yourself is really important. So yeah.
Well, this is a unexpected, delightful nugget of wisdom, because I truly, Alex, I'm gonna be honest with you, I've never really thought about branding as a makeup artist until we've had this conversation. And I think that this is something worth everyone having a good think about. How do you want to present yourself? What do you want your brand to be? Not just your work to be, because that will attract people as well. But before we kind of wrap things up, I think that this is a good segue, because we're kind of talking about energy and vibes here as well. And so I do want to talk to you a bit about mindset, because, you know, as we know, this industry can be like super challenging. It can be savage. It can be competitive and all this sort of thing. And I've seen on your Instagram, so not only did I scroll all the way through your feed, but I looked at every single story on like your Q&As, because you've got Q&As highlighted on your Instagram stories. And you share a lot about how you keep like a positive mindset and energy and all this sort of thing, and how you work really hard to practice gratitude. And I'm just curious to know, like, what role do you think that, you know, has on your success? Like, what role has that played?
So with mindset, This is relevant for anyone, you know. I think as people, we all wake up with the choice of how we want to feel every day and in any given situation or any like set of circumstances. So that is your own power. And I think that will, you know, ultimately determine how your life plays out. So if you are carrying a negative mindset and you aren't like living, you know, your life to the full potential, then I don't know. I think that that's a domino effect on everything else. So I do have such a, you know, heavy, like I definitely focus a lot on my mindset and, you know, self-development and self-growth. Yeah, it's played a huge part in my business and who I am now as well, like the person that I am now and what I bring to the table with my work and the experience that I offer. Yeah, I think just how you see the world is, you know, in having that positivity and that energy that you put out, that is, it's the law of attraction, isn't it? You know, so that what you're putting out is what you're going to get back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting that you say that because I was listening to, I wish I could remember his surname. His name is Hugh and he has a thing called The Resilience Project. He's got a book and it's kind of about gratitude and things like that. And he said a really simple thing that you can do to kind of shift your mindset and it will change your attitude towards the day is instead of saying, oh my God, I have to go blah, 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 you would say, I get to go blah, blah, blah. I have to go to work on this Saturday morning and I have to wake up so early. It's like, no, you get to wake up so early because you get to go like see the clients. And it's just funny because like I listened to him say this, I think at some point last week he was on another podcast I listened to and I actually stopped myself every time I heard myself say, I have to blah, 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 I would change it. I'm just curious, are there any kind of like tangible tips or things that you do to make sure that you stay in that kind of positive lane that you could share with everybody?
Well, I think, yeah, like practicing gratitude and just having perspective as well. So just looking at what you have in your life, not necessarily material things, but just, you know, I have an amazing support network. I've got a beautiful family. I have amazing friends. I'm living my dream job. I have two beautiful dogs. Like just looking at your life with fresh eyes and being grateful for that, for what you have and not focusing on what you don't have. That's a huge thing because I think, yeah, it just allows you to stay really, you know, humble and appreciative of the things that are in your life. And it goes just back to basics, doesn't it? I think, you know, touching on perspective, I've gone through a hell of a journey in my life, in my personal life, you know, and I think when things happen to you, it's this hasn't happened to me, it's happened for me. So how I see the world now is very different to how I saw it, you know, when things were in a really dark place and I was going through a really tough time in my life. So, you know, saying I have a choice of how I feel every day, it's so true because I could have absolutely gone down the other path of, you know, playing the victim and, you know, saying that it's all too hard. I can't get past this, you know, this challenge in my life. So having the mindset and also like celebrating the wins. And I think resilience is a really big thing as well. Just like, yeah, celebrating those wins that you do have when you do get through, you know, a situation or a set of circumstances and then being able to look at the positive out of every situation that happens. So, you know, something terrible could happen to you, but it's your outlook on the experience that ultimately can change the entire scenario. So that is like game changer for me, you know. I think it's something that you... It definitely takes practice and it's not something that people can pick up overnight. But I learned that from a really, really young age when, you know, I did kind of go through a lot of like hideous experiences in a really small period of time, like really life-changing shifts that I just kind of had to make it work. I was, you know, young and I just had to figure it all out and there was no way around it. And I think having that strength, the resilience, and yeah, just having a really great support network around you allows you to have, you know, a really great mindset and see things differently. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but that would...
It makes so much sense. And I just, yeah, like, thank you for sharing that. I think sometimes we need to like have that reminder, you know, that we can get through really difficult times. And also I think it's not like nice to share it, to be honest, like to be like, look, like I have this amazing life that you see now, like, and this is something you've also talked about on your Instagram stories, right? Like you've kind of got what appears to be from the outside like a very glamorous lifestyle and, you know, the celebrity clients and the gorgeous makeup and like you're a very beautiful person too, you know. And it's like we need to take a step back sometimes and be like, all right, well, that, you know, Instagram can be like an insane highlight reel, and like people might not know like what your experiences were like when you were going through that dark phase, and like to just take a step back for a minute, never compare yourself to others, but also just, you know, stay grounded.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, staying grounded and staying true to who you are is super, super important. This industry, you can absolutely get swept up in it and think that it can be led with ego a lot of the time as well, which I try not to get, you know, sucked into. I think I can kind of, you know, remain really, really solid and level-headed and grounded. Like that's definitely something that I pride myself on and I've worked really hard to be. But at the end of the day, I just, you know, it comes down to just me and, you know, my integrity at the end of the day. You know, when I'm not around anymore, I want people to remember me as, you know, a really genuine, good person. It's not, oh, she had this and she, you know, went there and she was working with that person. It was, you know, Alex was actually a really, really great human. She was a great girl. She's fun. She had a great energy. You know, she made people feel amazing. And like, that's what I want to be remembered for. You know, there's nothing else really to it for me. That's what I aspire for. So yeah, I think it's just a different way to look at things. You're getting emotional, babe.
I am. I haven't got teary in the podcast in a long time. I just think that that's really beautiful and it's really important. Like, I'm just going to be super honest. Like, recently, like, I think it because it's the first time in like 2 years we have been dealing with it, but like everyone's in Europe, right? And it's like you're just seeing it like constantly, and like everyone's like doing these bougie things and like living life and all this sort of stuff, but it's just like sometimes it just can get like so draining. And like recently, like I love them to death, but I've been like muting certain accounts because I'm like, I just can't handle this right now. Like, and I just think you're so right. Like, none of that matters at the end of the day. And you know, it's all about, you know, what we leave behind, or the impression we give people, or how we make them feel. I just think that that's so beautiful and like something that we don't talk about enough. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to, you know, comparison as well, that's like the biggest thief of joy. So I used to compare myself to, you know, other people when I wasn't super self-aware, and I kind of hadn't tapped into the journey, you know, my journey of growth as a person. I would always look at other people and be like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, or, you know, she's got this, or they're doing that, they're here and I'm not. I was like miserable with that, you know, just living my life like that. So you can get swept up in that, especially with social media. But I think at the end of the day, like, what you just need to be really focused on yourself, your own journey. No one is the same. No one's process or journey is the same. So just having that clear vision of what your greater purpose is, what your drive is, being motivated, and yeah, just like doing your best, because at the end of the day, like, as long as you're doing your best, that's all that matters. Like, my mom used to always say that to me. She's like, that's all you can do. If you know in yourself that you've done your best, doesn't matter. Like, you've given it 100%. So like, yeah, the comparison thing, it honestly really is a thief of your joy and your happiness, because everyone's reality is different. Everyone's lives are different. You have no idea what everyone's, you know, the story behind what's happened to a person. So, you know, just being empathic and treating people as equals and just being like a good person, like at the end of the day, like people can recognize that. It's the energy that you give out. So I think that's also played a really big part in not only, you know, my own life and my reality, the people that are in my life, but absolutely with the clients that I'm dealing with. At the end of the day, they just want to know that you have pure intentions. That's something that I'm massive on. Like, I think it's so important. It's very rare these days to find people that genuinely want the best for you. Like, it's so rare. People that are being genuine people and how they're treating you, but also genuine to themselves. So like, you know, just, yeah, staying true to yourself. Yeah, it's so important. It's so, so important.
So important. And you know what? I usually end the show by kind of asking, you know, my guests, like, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to an aspiring artist? But I don't really think it gets much better than that. It's like what you said, you know, your mum used to say to you, it's like, you got to do your best, like, do your best. And that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
And that's, a really, really beautiful thing. That's all you can do. And I just like truly, Alex, like from the bottom of my heart, like thank you so much for sharing and for sharing your story with me and with all the listeners. I know, like, just based on how I'm feeling right now, they're all going to feel like super inspired and just like touched. Like, you know, it's not super often that I will talk to, you know, just people who are like so in touch with all of that, like not just on the show, but like in all aspects of my life. And it's just really nice to have that conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth. I'm so glad. I feel really, really grateful that you asked me to do this with you and that we've had such an amazing conversation, because I feel like a lot of these things aren't spoken about much and they're not really a focus, especially in our industry. I think people kind of really look at the surface level stuff, but there's so much more to, you know, to everything, as you know, us as people and the kind of experiences that we want to create for our clients and the business that you can build based on, you know, those things alone. So no, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And just in case, on the absolute bare minimum chance, because I don't believe it could be true, but if somebody isn't following you or don't know where to find you, where can they grab you on social media?
So my Instagram, which is my name, Alex Perrin, and then MUA. And I do have TikTok, but I feel like I'm still working on it. TikTok is like another whole world for me. I'm like, I'm trying, but you know, we're not really.
Well, I tell you what, it's not the behind the brush curse, but it's like the behind the brush gift that everyone says this to me when they come on the show. Like I've had Ballerina Bride, Tennille, Penny have all come on and been like, oh, TikTok's not the place. And then next minute they're like thriving on TikTok. So maybe this will be my gift to you, that you'll like suddenly explode on TikTok. But you do not need anyone's help exploding. You are a true artist. You are such a great human being. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth.
Oh, Alex really got me there for a second, guys. She saw me like literally welling up and like trying to kind of, you know, when you're like starting to like tear up and you're like, get back in those eyes, no tears. Oh my God. So like I record the podcast with all of my guests. It's not on Zoom, but it's like a platform similar to Zoom. And I thought, nah, surely with like computer recording quality, there's no way she's going to see me doing that. But I was wrong. But really, like, wow, I was just so moved by her honesty and vulnerability and her story. Like, I said in the top of this episode, like there's so much I want to talk to her about that I just couldn't even possibly fit into the space of the show. And like, she's a very, very special person. Like when I tell you, like part of the reason why I love following her is because you can just tell like there's no bullshit, like this humility and, you know, the positive mindset and manifestation and all this stuff. It's no bullshit from her. Like it's not performative. She means it and she lives it and she breathes it and it just radiates through everything that she does. Like in case you can't tell, I've got a massive girl crush and I'm like searching flights to Sydney so that I can just make an excuse to go see her. I am so grateful that she shared with us, and she hasn't really been on a show like this before. So it was really a privilege to facilitate that, not just for myself because it's something that I'm going to remember, but for all of you. So here are my top two takeaways from our chat with Alex. Number one, don't lose sight of what matters. This one is obviously just as much a general piece of life advice as it is a piece of advice for us in the beauty industry. As artists, there are a lot of shiny distractions that we deal with on a daily basis that might distract us from why we started doing this in the first place. And I am the first one to put my hand up and say, I have definitely like fallen victim to that before. Social media and the way that it's kind of like trained our brains, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it makes us obsess over follower count and like compare our follower count to like somebody else similar and be like, oh shit, like they've, you know, got ahead of me quickly. How did they do that? And then, you know, you look at who's doing what jobs and why wasn't I booked on that job and who's on what PR list and why aren't I on that PR list? And like, they've got all this stuff in their kit and I don't have it in my kit. And like, they're being invited to big beauty events and all this stuff. And obviously that's a lot of comparison, but it's also like, you don't need to be on a PR list to have great stuff in your kit. You can buy it yourself, or you don't need to have every single thing in your kit be like super luxe or high end. Like, we know that we can make it work with a mix if you're not quite there yet. All this crap just bogs us down. Always try to remember, why did you become an artist in the first place, and focus on that first. Number two, presentation matters and you are your brand. I'm telling you guys, this one absolutely blew my mind. But the way you present yourself at a job is a representation not just of you as a person, but of your business. I am absolutely not saying that you have to show up for work every day in full glam or really bougie clothes and like, look. If you are one of the people who has run into me at Chadston or anywhere else, like, you know, like, I am the first person to walk around the street looking like an absolute troll in activewear all the time. But it is worth noting, right, that Alex's brand is premium and it's luxurious, and that might be something that you're aspiring to be as well. She is a celebrity artist and she dresses like a celebrity artist. Like, I was just thinking about it. It's like, you know, if Kylie Jenner, like, a lot of celebrity makeup artists, like, I'm just going to use the Kardashians as an example. Like, you can't imagine seeing somebody with like a messy top knot and like tracksuit pants in the background of a Kylie Jenner glam shot, can you? Like, it just makes sense. And like, look, again, I'm going to be the first one to put my hand up and say, as we were having that conversation, I was thinking to myself, fuck. I have definitely shown up to a job before looking like absolute hell, and my excuse is, well, I had to be there at like 5 a.m. But like, how did that make them see me? I don't know. It's just worth thinking about. Like, I don't know. It's just some food for thought. It was kind of obvious, but I never thought about it before. So it's something that I'm definitely going to be evaluating. But anyway, thank you guys so much once again for listening to the show. It was a longer episode today, but it was worth every single minute. I can't even wait to listen back to this one. Of course, if you want to stay up to date in the meantime, before the next episode drops in 2 weeks from today, Instagram at By St. Jack Cosmetics, that's BY St. Jack. Or if you want to follow my artistry account, it's at BethWilson_MUA on Instagram and TikTok. But until then, I'll see you on the next one. Bye.